This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast on the 8th of March, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined by Eric Pfeiffer, CJ Miller, and Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. The HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com for more, and stop by your local branch. Coming up in the news today, Indiana is a great home for ag bioscience companies, and catching up with ISDA Director Don Lamb after his trip to Cuba. We have a rainy day on tap in Indiana, and yesterday's corn and soybean markets posted strong gains. Mike Silver with analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we know that when agriculture thrives, we all do. It's the heart and grit of our agricultural communities that keep the crops coming in and the livestock cared for day and night. That's why we build financial solutions around the needs and schedules of our ag clients. If you're looking for a financial partner that has over 135 years' experience in understanding and supporting agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's harvest success together. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Do you have an interest in taking your hay or livestock operation to the next level but need some help doing it? Then head out to the Hay and Livestock Expo hosted by Reynolds Farm Equipment, March 15th from 8 to 3 at the Boone County Fairgrounds. Join them for free lunch and hear from speakers, visit over 15 vendor booths, win door prizes, and more. Pre-register for a chance to win a roll of net wrap and hay knife. To register or for more information, visit events.reynoldsfarmequipment.com/hay-livestock-expo-24. Why ag bioscience companies are calling Indiana home, and the future of trade with Cuba. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. We've given you some of the stats surrounding Indiana agriculture in recent weeks from the most recent USDA Census of Agriculture. Those stats include being the number one producer in the country of popcorn, gourds, and duck, number four in soybeans, number five in corn and hog production, and total ag production valued at over $18 billion. Well, here are some other stats for the state. According to Agrinovus Indiana, we're second in the nation for cost of doing business, we have the best state regulatory environment, and we're third in the country with the best state infrastructure. All this is why ag bioscience companies are calling Indiana home. Agrinovus Indiana held the first of four events they'll have this year called Quadrant to highlight the Indiana ag biosciences industry. Dr. Reza Razzlepour, VP at Corteva, says when they were deciding about 5 years ago where to put their headquarters, Indiana was the logical choice.
We're here in the heartland. We're close to customers, really able to understand how we can provide tools in those farmers' toolboxes. And key of importance is we have plant health, animal health, human health right here in the Indiana biosciences community. As Corteva, we spend over $4 million a day, each and every day in R&D. And as an R&D scientist myself, it's great that we're able to attract lots of talent into Indiana from the coasts, from all around the world, to invest within that community.
Agrinovus, Indiana government officials, and existing ag bioscience companies like Corteva are working together to attract more companies and more talent here to do more with the products that you, the Indiana farmer, produce.
When I go and I recruit people or talk to students, I think a lot of it is demystifying agriculture. So have you hugged a farmer today, right? Do you understand how hard it is to be a farmer? The challenges that farmers will have over the next 20 years is so much greater than the challenges that they had 20 years ago, as we think about climate change, as we think about regulations, as we think about complexity. So the thing that I want them to know is if you want to have a really significant impact on the world, please come and join us at Corteva. And come and join us in Indiana.
You can hear more from the Quadrant event with Governor Eric Holcomb, CEO Kevin Still from the new Keystone Cooperative, and others by finding this story at HoosierAgToday.com and clicking on the play button. A lot of our ag products here in Indiana end up in nearby countries like Canada and Mexico, but what about Cuba? CJ Miller has more.
I could see in the long-term future Cuba being a really great market for us and them being a really friendly neighbor, but it's just going to take quite a bit of change that's out of our hands.
And that's Don Lamb, director of the Indiana State Department of Agriculture. He recently traveled to Cuba as part of a trade mission that was hosted by the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture and funded by the USDA. Lamb says it was an eye-opening experience to see the food crisis in Cuba firsthand.
Kind of a good and bad situation is what it felt like. You know, you're excited about the potential for the future, but it's also somewhat discouraging just the situation that they're in there. They're just in really bad financial shape. The people are hungry. There's not going to be a real quick way to start trading a lot of dollars with them or with a lot of food, but there are definitely opportunities because it's needed. There's 11 million people there, 90 miles off our coast, and they're hungry. And we would really like to be able to do something about that.
He adds that the ongoing embargo and political tensions between the U.S. and Cuba are certainly barriers to trading there, but Lamb says he's optimistic that things could turn around and that Indiana's ag products could eventually find a new market in Cuba.
I always joke around that I'm a popcorn guy, so, you know, I want them to buy popcorn to eat at a Cuban baseball game, you know, and right now, you know, their economy really just doesn't support that kind of a lifestyle. But if they keep improving, boy, wouldn't that be great if 10 years from now, baseball games in Cuba are really enjoyed and there's a nice box of popcorn there to enjoy during the baseball game. But there's a lot of things that kind of have to come in place in the meantime to make that happen.
You can hear my full conversation with ISDA Director Don Lamb at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farm Credit Mid-America believes that your crop insurance should be maximized to address what's important to you. With their data-optimized decision tool, you can build a policy custom fit to your operations goals. Using your past production data, their tool, which they have exclusive access to in their territory, maps out future events, helping you choose the perfect policy type, coverage level, and options for you, all guided by their crop insurance agents. To learn more, visit fcma.com/crop-insurance. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity provider.
The High Ground Podcast. Everything from energy and fuel.
It's Memorial Day weekend, going to be 87 to 89, maybe low 90s all weekend. So we thought we'd bring Scott Heine in. So we'll talk about home heat.
To agriculture.
Anytime we can help a farmer grow their business and meet their goals, that's a proud moment for me.
And, well, other things.
For some reason, like and subscribe. We don't know why, but that's important.
We want you to do it on your own, but we're going to tell you.
Listen now on all platforms.
Plenty of rain shower activity here over the next 24 to 36 hours. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Moisture overspreading the state from southwest to northeast today. We're looking at good rounds of moisture all through the day. Secondary wave coming tonight through tomorrow midday. Combined, we're looking at the two waves of moisture bringing anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches. Coverage 100% of the Hoosier State. Everybody's going to get rain at some point. The question is just how much. I think central and southern Indiana have a slightly higher chance of getting the higher end of the rain range than farther north. Northwest Indiana seems to be the area that gets the least precipitation over the next few days. Still, we'll be done with moisture by Saturday late afternoon. Clouds probably hold into Saturday night. Cold air is here. You'll feel that temperature change as this frontal boundary comes through, and we stay chilly through Sunday. Clouds may try and break up on Sunday, but in this cool air mass, it probably is difficult to see strong clearing right away on Sunday. The chill holds into early Monday, and then temperatures start to moderate. Strong southwest flow will be with us through most of next week. So from Monday afternoon forward, we're going to be above normal. I think we're dry for a good chunk of next week as well. Dry Sunday, dry Monday, dry Tuesday. Might have to deal with a few hit and miss scattered showers over northern Indiana overnight Tuesday night into Wednesday. This is a system that's moving mostly through the Great Lakes region. We just see the southern part of this drag down into northern Indiana, northern Ohio. It's gone quickly by Wednesday afternoon, and we're back to dry weather for Thursday, Friday, and into early Saturday. Big weather system coming together to our west. It tries to come through Friday night into Saturday, but really is dividing into two distinct sectors, a northern piece that misses us Friday night, and then a southern piece that maybe is going to be more of a story for us Saturday afternoon, Saturday night. So stay tuned. Track and how this system emerges is still ongoing, but we're also seeing behind it cold air coming back. So I think we chill back down for next Saturday afternoon, the 16th, and Sunday, the 17th. Not super cold, but definitely not as warm as the rest of the week up to that point. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great weekend. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
What's in a name? Trust, for one thing. You trust the name of the seed you plant and the tractor you drive. Since 2006, Indiana farmers have been trusting the name Hoosier Ag Today to give them the timely, relevant, and credible information they need. And every day they trust this local radio station to keep them informed and entertained. So when someone asks you the name you trust, remember Hoosier Ag Today and this station.
Strength in corn and soybeans on Thursday. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Thursday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. Settlements from the session coming up, but first, late in the session, I checked in for market analysis with Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Mike, a bump in the markets and certainly a very strong wheat market. When you look at hard red and spring, Chicago wheat struggling to gain some traction, but let's begin with corn and beans. Solid moves higher. Certainly that's not positioning ahead of USDA in 24 hours, is it?
Well, there may be some of that, Andy, but I think it's more for technically driven. We have now, and I suspect that we're going to be able to close above the 20-day moving average in May corn. And, of course, we've talked about this before, that 20-day moving average hurdle, we needed to cross that before we had much hope in being able to add to the green paint on the quote board. But certainly things are going to have to go south really quick here for us not to be able to post a good close today in the corn and soybean market. We've seen more green today in terms of positive movement today in corn and beans than we have in quite some time. So that's good from several standpoints. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not extremely bullish at this point because fundamentally not much has changed. But from a technical standpoint, it looks like the funds, who are still extremely short this market, have decided that even in light of really no new fundamental news, that maybe they would take some profits here before going into the World Outlook Board report tomorrow at noon. We aren't expecting a whole lot. The trade isn't expecting a whole lot of new information to come into play in that report tomorrow, with the exception of maybe USDA recognizing that the South American crop is not as big as they have previously thought it was going to be, and more in line with what the trade expectations are in terms of the South American production numbers. But we'll see. We'll see what USDA's take is at noon tomorrow. And we know that USDA can throw out some surprises from time to time, usually more times to the negative than the positive. But at least there's green on the quote board today, Andy. We did have some reasonable export sales announced this morning. Corn came in at 1.109 million metric tons. That was up from last week's 1.082. That was at the upper end of the expectations of estimates, and those at that upper end, the top side of that was 1.4, so we didn't quite make the top end, but the corn export sales were respectable. Soybeans came in at 613.5 thousand. That was above the high end of the expectations. The high end of the expectations were 600, and that's better than last week's 159,000 metric tons. The wheat number came in at 271, which was lower than last week's 327, but it did fall just slightly above the low end of the range of expectations, which was 250 to 550. So, Andy, we'll see what USDA says at noon tomorrow. We'll see what kind of a close we can get today. But as we're talking here now, with about 15 minutes to go in the daily trade, I just want to make a comparison here to how much gain we've had in May corn since last Friday, and it's 13 cents December corn since last Friday is up 9.5 at the present levels. The May soybean futures are up 12.25 since last Friday, and the November soybean futures up 13.25 since last Friday. The May wheat futures, Chicago wheat is down 29 cents since last Friday and down 21 cents in the July wheat futures since last Friday. So there's not a lot of other news in the market today other than the fact that the funds are still short the market. Farmers still do have a lot of unpriced corn in bins on the farm and in the grain elevators in terms of basis contracts that are now versus the May futures in both corn and soybeans, and deferred pricing grain that still remains to be priced. Now, the good thing is that in our offer deck last night, in our open offer deck, which is exposed to the market whenever the market is trading, when we came in this morning and looked at that deck, we did have notification that we had quite a number of open orders that were filled, which when we announced those and called our customers about those this morning, they had two questions. Number one, how much higher is it going to go? And that is the big question right now. How much higher is it going to go? But they were very grateful and appreciative of the fact that they had put those offers in that enabled to get some pricing done. So I'm going to encourage folks as a final comment today to recognize that when those offers are exposed to the market, we can get them filled. If we don't have them exposed to the market, well, we know how volatile this market is. And thank goodness today, it looks like, we're going to have a positive close. We'll just keep our fingers crossed and hope that we can get a little more upside momentum as we move closer now toward the end of the month, where we could get a pretty... it's going to be an important set of numbers that come out at the end of the month, because we're going to get our planning intentions report. That's the first exposure we're going to get with a market reaction to our anticipated planting numbers. And we know that from the Outlook conference here in February that corn acres are projected to be down and soybean acres are projected to be up. So we will probably get, now this is my personal opinion, we will probably get more market reaction either up or down to what those acreage numbers are than we will to tomorrow's World Outlook Board estimates at noon. But we are getting some opportunity now, so encourage folks to take a good hard look at their position, and if they need to make more sales in the old crop especially, we do have some green, and it looks like we've got the potential now, if we can close this above that 20-day moving average, to go up to the next moving average line, which would be the 40-day and then the 50-day moving averages. So encourage people to get their thoughts in play, get their realistic desired prices in the open offer deck, and see if we can't get them filled for them.
Market analysis from Mike Silver. He's with Kokomo Grain, and you can get in touch with him at 800-666-0613. Now the Thursday settlements, May corn, 438, picking up 9.25. Solid move. July goes to 449.5, up 9.5 cents. And double-digit gains in beans, May 1166.25, picking up 18 cents. July goes 17.25 higher, 1176. May wheat did finish down 2.5 cents, 528.5. The meats mostly higher. April live cattle, 188.72, up $1.47. April lean hogs down 47 cents, 84.52. May, though, 91.22, up 45. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.